Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Rashi Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Goprem Anandi. So what you're discussing last night's class. Yeah.
The Brahmana wives run into the forest to see Krishna, and Krishna turns, makes them go back to their husbands and makes everything okay for them to do that. And we learned why they weren't qualified to have a conjugal relationship with Krishna.
Hmm. Good. Any other points?
No, for sure. Last thing,
no, it's good.
I was just going to remind you of course.
Specifically, Krishna has multiple shaktis or energies. So they came to Krishna with a conjugal attachment. They wanted to enjoy him, the same as the gopis enjoy him. And Krishna was willing to reciprocate. He also had that feeling towards them. But the Leela Shakti saw that this was not appropriate for his pastimes, because he can enjoy like that with the gopis because there is no transgression of external dharma or religious principle. In the sense that if the brahmana's wives, if they fell down with Krishna and they're enjoying conjugal love with Krishna, it would not be seen as appropriate that a brahmana, the brahmana's wife, is enjoying with a cowherd boy or a vaishya. Amongst vaishyas there was no problem in one sense that Krishna can enjoy like that, but with the brahmana's wife, so the Leela Shakti entered, you want to protect, and then it's necessary for the wives of the brahmanas to take birth as gopis in their next life, and then they can enjoy with Krishna. Only the gopis can enjoy that kind of relationship in Vrindavan with Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's how it's described. So it describes that one of the wives of the brahmanas actually gave up her body immediately. The separation was so intense, she just like a yogi, left her body, and then she went straight into the body of a gopi, and she began to enjoy with Krishna. But the others had to wait until the time they left their body, and then that's how it's described. Any other point?
Even before they saw Lord Krishna, by just hearing about him, they saw him
in their hearts. Yeah.
And before they couldn't see him face to face. So that's hearing is very important.
Yeah, good.
They also came in contact with the flower ladies in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
That's how they heard more about Krishna's beauty and activity.
Yeah. Good. Anything else?
Also gave instructions or spoke to them telling that I'm still not separated from you, so continue to do your service as a paramour, as the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to this one. Continue to do your duty by serving the paramour, but keep me in your mind.
Good. Anything else?
The verse 26 indicates the pure bhakti, and the whole purpose is based on teaching us the pure bhakti. That
and Okuyana. Yeah, Ahoitaki Napatiyata.
Yes.
If you want to enter Vrindavan, we have to follow the steps of bhakti, which is uninterrupted and unmotivated.
Devotional service.
The only question that comes to mind is, on one hand, bhakti is not dependent on birth. The rasa is not dependent on birth. So, just think, or rasa is not dependent on dharma, on one sense, because bhakti doesn't depend on that. So, that is that I'm finding it a little bit different.
Because you're talking about the Lord's pastimes. We're not talking about Dharma in this world. So in his pastimes, in his Nitya Lila, it's only gopis that he associates with like that. He doesn't desire, or the Lila Shakya Yogamaya doesn't desire that anyone in any other external position will enjoy with him like that, in that relationship. So it's part of his desire, or part of his internal energy's desire, that won't happen. There's nothing wrong in one sense, because they have love for Krishna. But in terms of his leelas, in the pastimes, like in Goloka, even in the spiritual world, there are brahmanas, there are kshatriyas, there's vaishyas, so everyone plays like a role. So in one sense it's irrelevant, because everyone's just a pure devotee. But in another sense, Krishna's conscientious of these situations. So the mood's not right. You know, in a brahmana's wife's body, it's not the right mood.
The question that comes to mind is when Lord kidnapped Rukmini and married her, so we still call it a Swakya Madhurya.
That's Swakya, yeah.
Swakya. But Rukmini again, she was not daughter of Rishi.
She was not what?
Rukmini. Rukmini, can we say Rukmini was the daughter of a Kshatriya? Is that the correct understanding? So it seems that the Lord, the Kshatriya and Vaishyas takes the authority, but the Brahmana, he doesn't.
Depends what his leela is. So as Mahaprabhu, who does he marry? Because in the leela as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in the vana of a brahmana. So then he marries a brahmani. When he goes to Dwarka, he's in the mood of a kshatriya. So then he marries a kshatriya. And then when he's in Vrindavan, so it's to do with his leela. Because, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes one position. As Krishna, he takes another position. In Vrindavan, he takes another position. So it's all to do with his leela. It's to enhance the flavor of his leela. As you said, in one sense, there's nothing wrong. He can do whatever he wants. But for the leela to go on and not impede on his mood, then these externals have to be maintained. That. So it may be even a little bit above mundane logic and mundane reasoning. It's a lot of it is to do with rasa. Yeah? It's the mood of the wives of the Brahmins. No, his mood is, you take birth as a gopi, then we'll enjoy. So it's a different, there's something like subtly to do with the mood, which may not be so apparent to us because we're still very conditioned. But if you meditate on it a little bit, you'll get some feeling or some.
Their desire to become, it will enhance their desire to become.
Yeah, of course. They're already going mad, and then he just pushes them further. Because you have to burn everything to become a gopi. Yeah, it's the sweetest. Yeah. Because Lakshmi even can't enter. Because, you know, it's said in one sense, it says she's a Brahmani, Lakshmi. So then it says that she can't break her mood. But these juggling, the qualification of the wives of the Brahmanas, they will break their mood. Even though, you know, in a Brahmana body, which is very elevated, but they'll give that up to become a gopi. So that's how exalted their consciousness is. Whereas many people won't do that. And understand? It's subtle. So these things, we're not really dealing with a material subject at this point in time. So it takes contemplation, it takes purification, it takes meditation, and then these things become revealed in the consciousness. Any other point?
You said that the pastimes of Lord is organized by Lila Shakti, and he acts like a puppet in their hands. So that might be the explanation.
Yeah, that's part of it.
And Lord Krishna, when he told the Brahmanis to go home and help their husbands to complete the sacrifice, then that was like a Yukta-Vairagya was taught by Lord Chaitanya. When he told
Rupa Goswami.
Raghunath Das Goswami.
Yeah.
So he just behaved. like a husband, but you are attached to me.
Internally.
Yes.
Yeah.
We want to mention this part time because of the highest position of gopi.
Sorry, what?
The highest position of the gopi is in the world, especially in the if you understand good, there also is a lineage of different types of gopis. Uddhava takes us to the Brahmana king up to the gopis.
Brihadbhagavatamrita? Is that what you're talking about?
Different levels of devotees are mentioned.
The whole Bhagavatam is culminating in this point right now. This is the culmination of the Bhagavatam, where we are right now. Because the gopis are the highest of all the devotees. So this is it. No one is higher than the gopis, even though externally they're cowherd girls, but everyone worships them. Bhishma, Uddhava, Narada, Shiva, Lakshmi, everyone worships the gopis. This shows how exalted they are, even though apparently they externally appear to be cowherd girls. So, any other point? Gopis are 15 years old and Manjaris are like 12, 13 years old. So they're made servants of the gopis.
What sort
of conjugal, completely conjugal. But the difference is the Manjari does not have direct conjugal relationship with Krishna, whereas the gopi does. Krishna has conjugal pastime with the gopis. With the Manjaris, there's no conjugal pastime. No direct physical contact, right? They just do seva. They serve the gopi who is with Krishna, but they directly will not touch Krishna. That's the difference. They're a little bit younger in age. When Lord Chaitanya says, gopi bhātu, pāda kamalayo, dasa, dasa, anodasa. So dasa, dasa, anodasa means the manjaris. Servant of the servant of the servant. Because Lord Chaitanya, you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Anchalila, sometimes he would enter into the mood of a manjari. And it describes in Anchalila, he goes into a trance and he sees Radha and Krishna go into a cave at Govardhan Hill, and then he begins to follow them in the mood of a manjari. Like that. And then he wakes up from external consciousness. So that's what he's teaching us to do.
That's not true.
You can also attain the position of a gopi as well.
Gopi, yes. Every time more sakhi.
What's that?
Position of a sakhi.
Yeah, you can. Okay. It's up to your mood, your bhav. Well, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, whatever's eternally in your heart, when that becomes like clear, then you can also become a gopi. You can't become one of the prominent gopis, but you can become a gopi. Or you become a manjari. Okay.
Most of our acharyas are
the manjaris.
Except for Sarul Dhamma and Goswami and Ramananda. They didn't write any books or we don't know anything that they wrote.
What's the point?
Looks like Sakhis, when they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, they didn't concentrate on reading scriptures or excavating
writing.
Most of the work was done by Manjaris.
Swarup Damodar wrote a diary, and then that diary was used by Raghunath Das Goswami to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they did write things. Ramananda Roy wrote some dramas, Jagannath Ballabha, Nataka. So things were written, but not. The main writing was done by the Goswamis because they were ordered to write. Okay. Anything else?
When the Brahmanis saw Lord Krishna, that the verses like Rasayana, to give bhakti to.
Were you meditating on that when you chanted this morning?
Not really. Sleep wise. So when he was dressed like a dancer, and he was putting one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and with the other hand he was twirling the lotus flower, and the lotus flowers are representative of the hearts of his devotees. So he is, all the hearts of the devotees are with him all the time.
You got a point?
I think Prakashana Saraswati is also in foundation of Kumbhavidya.
Prabodhananda Saraswati?
So, but he was a preacher, I think.
Yeah, he wrote. He wrote a lot of books. Yeah.
Anything else?
At the end, when the Brahmin wives leave, Krishna felt separation, but he still ate to please the cowherd boys because he knew they would eat without him.
Yes. Very good.
And the Brahmanas, they really thought that their wives are very devoted more than themselves.
Yeah.
And they accepted them.
That's all we'll hear about now. So tonight we go from verse 38 to 52. So we'll finish the chapter. Finish the chapter, then next Monday we start Govardhan Leela. Then Tuesday we do the overview. Then the following Monday we finish the Govardhan Leela, the chapter 24. And then on the, what's the date? 11th, is it? 18th, then we do the closed book exam. So your open book exams are due by next Tuesday. Good luck.
The Brahmanas then came to their senses and began to feel great remorse. They thought, "We have sinned, for we have denied the request of the two lords of the universe, who deceptively appeared as ordinary human beings."
So, Yogi?
Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram do not try to deceive the Brahmanas. They straightforwardly requested food from them. Rather, the Brahmanas deceive themselves as indicated by Sanskrit word Narvidam Payo, which means that Krishna and Balaram are bewildering for an ordinary human being who considers them to be human. Still, because of the wives of the Brahmanas were great devotees of the Lord, the foolish Brahmanas received spiritual benefit and gladly came to their senses.
So, any points?
So the ladies can be devotees as well. Ladies can be the devotees, greater devotees as well.
Yeah, the greatest devotees are the gopis. Any other points?
Generally, we hear that it is said whatever pious activity the husband does, the 50% goes to the wife. But in this case, we are seeing the opposite. Whatever pious activity the wife has done, so much more getting.
Yeah, so it depends who's more advanced in the marriage. If the wife's more advanced, then she's taking you back. Mm-hmm. And if the husband is more advanced, then he's taking the wife back. So it depends. So, when one rebels against Krishna, one becomes covered by avijja. Rupa Goswami says that all of us are covered by avijja, which means ignorance in the material world. What is the cause of our avijja? Because we rebelled against Krishna, we left Krishna. So in this pastime is taking place in the spiritual world. Balma Vrindavan. So Krishna is in the material world, and the wives of the Brahmanas and the Brahmanas, the Jagi Brahmanas, this whole pastime takes place right in between Vrindavan and Mathura. If you do Parikram, you can actually see where this place is. So even though they're in the holy Dham, but because their consciousness is material, they cannot get Krishna's association. They cannot interact or reciprocate with Krishna. So it's just a question of consciousness. When you are in Maya, means that we think of ourselves separate from Krishna. Instead of serving Krishna, we want to rebel and we want to be a competitor of Krishna. And when you get into that consciousness, which is ignorance, then you are taken away from Krishna. So even though they're in the spiritual world, they're in the holy Dham, but they can't get Krishna's association. So it's a question of consciousness, not physical proximity. Prabhupada points this out. Prabhupada says physical proximity doesn't bring you closer to the guru. You always see when there's photos of the spiritual master and all the devotees are like, you know, well, everyone's like standing right next to the guru. Everyone like, you know, charges him. You see when Acharyapada has his photos, and everyone like, you know, everyone wants to be right next to, you know, the guru. That doesn't make you close to the guru. Just because you're next to the guru doesn't mean you're close to the guru. Prabhupada explains this. You can be like a fly on the knee of the king. So the fly is sitting on the king's knee, and he's thinking, I'm very important because I'm sitting on the king's knee. But the king's just thinking, you're a nuisance, get out. Huh? So you may be close to the spiritual master, but it doesn't mean that you're by physical proximity, but it doesn't mean your consciousness is connected. So with Krishna, the Jagik Brahmanas, they're very close to Krishna. Krishna is literally probably within a kilometer or something. I mean, it's very, very close in terms of physical proximity. I mean, a few kilometers at most. Yeah, imagine if we found out now Krishna was at Alba Park Lake. We'd all just run to go and find him, be with Krishna. He's actually there. So they're so close, but they can't get off their asana and they can't go and see him. And the cowherd boys come. The cowherd boys say, Krishna is there, give us some, and they just remain silent. So by consciousness, by ignorance, by false ego, they can't get Krishna's association. Whereas the wives of the brahmanas, they give up everything. As soon as they hear that Krishna is close by, they just pick up pots of bog, and then they take it to Krishna, to offer to Krishna and the cowherd boys. So that's the difference in their consciousness. So, this pastime is showing us both sides. It's showing us what we should be and what we should not be. Because what is the anatta that these brahmanas represent?
High birth?
Huh? Pride. Yeah, pride because of high birth. Attachment to ashrama and vana. Oh, I'm a brahmana. People say this all the time. I'm a brahmana. You go to India, I'm a brahmana. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. So, they become purified how? By association. So this pastime is showing us the power or the potency of association. Sadhu Sangha. Sava Shastri Koya. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha. Sava Siddhi. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives you this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That we become pure by our association. If you associate with advanced devotees, you'll become an advanced devotee. Just like Prabhupada had so many people, so many disciples who followed Prabhupada, took his association, they became advanced devotees. Some disciples got hardly any association personally with Prabhupada, and like David Rita Swami said he was in the room once with Prabhupada, like in terms of personal. Prabhupada walked into the room at the BBT. Dave Marina Swami was behind the desk doing some work. He was a brahmachari. And Prabhupada came in. Prabhupada just said, That's all Prabhupada said. And then walked out. That was his association with Prabhupada. Except when he got initiation and when Prabhupada was giving classes. And didn't even get personal association with Prabhupada. Prabhupada just said, Look at his service. Gave his blessing, that's it. Now he's empowered by Krishna. So it doesn't mean getting physical proximity does not mean that you become advanced. But you become advanced by taking advantage of the association, either in Vani or Vapu, right? And then you advance. So the brahmanas, they became purified because their wives were pure devotees. Then they also developed devotion. Any points?
The Malgin Goswami got a lot of association with Prabhupada. Lots of association. I went to Houston last month. Big picture of Malgin Goswami in one room. Huge. People love him like anything.
Any other points?
Bhakti is more important than God.
In one sense, that's one point. Anything else?
Is it because of knowledge, the pride that Brahma is actually, is that why they're so proud of what they do?
Yeah, people become proud of everything. Knowledge is part of it, yeah. Knowledge, austerity, celibacy. High birth, just because I'm born, attachment to purity, samskaras, all these things. We become proud of everything. It doesn't take much to make us proud. You got a nice suit. The car you drive, all these things. All these things that we become proud of, all these external, how do you say it, like displays of opulence. So it actually describes these Brahmins were very wealthy. Their wives were sitting on golden asanas made of gold. And very, very wealthy, these Brahmins. So they were proud of everything. They had so much and they were very proud. Well, their self-controls, they're proud of that. You know, like if we make some advancements, sometimes we make some advancements, then we start thinking, wow, I'm becoming advanced. And then you start becoming proud. And that now, because you're aware of it. But then that becomes a disqualification at that point.
Actually, they were so rich that they were not very advanced Brahmins, or the Brahmins are not supposed to correct them.
No, the Brahmins can have wealth.
They
always live simply, but they can be wealthy as well. No, there's examples where they're wealthy. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a qualified Brahmin who's very wealthy. They can be wealthy as well. Taking note of their wives' pure transcendental devotion for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and seeing their own lack of devotion, the Brahmanas felt most sorrowful and began to condemn themselves. The Brahman is said to hell with our threefold birth, our vow of celibacy, and our extensive learning. To hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we were inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead.
Inimical.
As explained in the definitions above, the words Trivrit Janma or threefold birth refer to one physical birth, two grammatical initiation, and three initiation into the performance of religious sacrifice. Everything is endless if one is ignorant of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna.
What are the points there? The Bhagavata.
The purpose is to become a Brahmana is to know that the Lord Krishna is Godhead. So even if you are a Brahmana and if you don't know him, then all the things are different.
Yeah, the Bhagavatam says, Shrama Evi Hi Kevalam. If you do so many things and you possess so many things and you get so many qualifications, but if you don't have bhakti for Krishna, then everything is shrama. Shrama means it's just a waste of energy. So it means you don't have any qualification actually. Even though externally you appear to be learned, but then if you become proud of your learning, then it becomes useless. You may have wealth, but if you become proud of your wealth, it becomes useless. You have possessions, but then you become proud of beauty. Jama, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shrivya, all those things. But then if you become proud of those things become a disqualification. So it's not that a devotee can't have these things, but these things must be used in Krishna's service.
And how do you learn? How do you learn to use these things in Krishna service?
By association.
You offer them to Guru. You offer them to the spiritual master. I mean, by offering them to the Guru, then you become purified. But if you try to enjoy these opulences, even in the path of bhakti, in the Madhurya Kanambini, it explains that one of the anattas in bhakti is when you become proud of your advancement. Because when you become advanced, then people, they recognize you. They give you money. They give you respect. You get followers. Profit, adoration, distinction, but then you might become attached to those things. And then it becomes a disqualification. It's dangerous like that. Because you become advanced, but then people begin to offer you things and they offer you respect and everything, but then you become attached, and then that becomes your motivation to do bhakti. Oh, I'll do bhakti because wherever I go, people feed me nicely. I go to their house, I can eat whatever I want. Right? And then that becomes your motivation. Oh, it's very good to be advanced. It's good to be a brahmana. It's good to be a preacher in ISKCON because everyone feeds me nicely. It's a good vocation. So then we become, if that becomes your driving motive or your main inspiration to perform, to stay on the path of devotion, then that's an anatta. And that stops us from getting to Krishna. So we have to be very careful because all of us get affected by these anattas. That's why in the Madhurya Kalambini, that's why Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur lists these things. Because he knows that we're going to get affected by them, and we do get affected by them. So we have to be careful. When these, you have to analyze yourself, you have to let others analyze you, and you have to see how much these things are affecting you, and you have to conscientiously work away from these things. Otherwise they destroy your bhakti, and you certainly won't get into Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is the goal. But as long as you have all these attachments, you can't enter Vrindavan. Like these brahmanas, so much qualification that they could not enter. Huh? What about in the Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Charitamrita? Right? There was one brahmana, and then Srivas Thakur led him into the nocturnal kirtan. He was hiding under the basket, and Mahaprabhu said, "I cannot taste prema." Who is here? Someone is unqualified. And Srivas Thakur said, "The brahmana is under the basket." Lord Chaitanya said, "Who let him in?" Srivas said, "I did." And Srivas said, "He's very austere. He only drinks milk and eats fruit." Yeah? Imagine if you only had to drink milk and eat fruit. Well, you'd go crazy. No more dosha. No more idli. No more capsicum chutney. Coriander chutney, yeah. Coconut chutney, you go crazy, you couldn't do it. So only milk and only fruit, but Lord Chaitanya said, if that was the only qualification, then I'd be doing it already. You know, if we can eat fruit and drink milk to go back to Krishna, we do it. But you can't. The only way to get to Krishna is by bhakti, by devotion. So we have to be conscientious. Because the brahmanas, they became attached and they couldn't get Krishna. The brahmanis, the jagyapatnis, they gave up everything external, even their positions as brahmanas' wives, opulence, wealth. You know, they gave up their gold asana. You know, these big things. They just walked out. That's how attracted they were to Krishna. Krishna is so attractive, all of those other things become insignificant. Yeah? When you actually get attachment to Krishna, you give up all those things. It says in the prayers of the six Goswamis, they were very wealthy and very powerful. But it says, tuchdivat. They just renounced it all. And they put on loincloths and they went and lived in Vrindavan. That was more meaningful to them than to have all of their opulence and all the material possessions. The Goswamis had extreme wealth. Raghunath Das Goswami was a millionaire. But he just gave it all up, and he was the most austere out of all of them. So when you get a taste for Krishna consciousness, you just lose your attachment. And Prabhupada says later on, in the pastimes with the gopis, in about another 10 chapters, Prabhupada said, you can see directly how much you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. By, if your material desires are becoming less and your attachment to Krishna is becoming
more.
That's how you know. Very simple. Sometimes what you say, they think, how am I advancing? It's easy. Are your material attachments less? Is your attachment to Krishna more? That's it. That's the whole measurement. Right? When you're only attached to Krishna, you become detached from everything else. That's how you know. Any points?
Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised one person who was very proud of his Bhagavatam lectures. And then she was,
Devananda Pandit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice past one. Any other points?
I've spoken a good night about this name, fame, adoration, basically when people get it. And he gave the same answer. He said, you operate to a good mind, what you mentioned just now. My question is, with those type of things which are very subtle, when you offer name, fame, adoration, how do you operate to a good mind?
What means in your consciousness, you give the credit to him. Someone's offering respect to you, but then you think, well, that's only because I got some good association with my guru. And maybe I'm reflecting something that was in him. So because of that, then that's my qualification. So like Bhakti Vichapurnima, as you gave that example, just like Bhakti is like a mirror or a crystal. So the crystal, by association with other colors, then it takes on a particular color, like that. In and of itself, it doesn't possess it. But by association, then it reflects. So Bhakti is only like that. You know, whatever we're showing in terms of Bhakti, that's only being reflected from the association that we receive. And if you go right back, then ultimately everything comes from Krishna. Because the spiritual world is full of pure devotees, just like Prabhupada. But Prabhupada's the most advanced devotee, the most pure devotee. But where does Prabhupada get his qualities from? Association with Krishna. It's just Krishna reflecting into Prabhupada, that's all it is. Because Prabhupada understands that, then he just lets that out. And whatever comes through him, then he just lets that, right? He doesn't keep it for himself. And then Prabhupada would say that sometimes. People would give Prabhupada respect, and he said, my Guru Maharaj is blessed, or what? So in the consciousness, you understand, I think. It's actually not an easy thing to do. It's actually not an easy thing to do. For the conditioned soul, for all of us, it's not easy. Because whenever we do make some success, because most of the time we don't get stuff right. Most of the time we just make a mess. Our lives are more or less a train wreck. And once in a while we get something right and we start thinking, oh wow, I got it together. Yeah. So then someone starts saying, oh, you did really well. So yeah, well, because yeah. You're feeling good about yourself, because the rest of the time it's just a disaster. You know, you walk into the class and everyone sees, oh, you know, walked in, but you know, you don't know what happened before. You're on the drive here and, you know, leaving home and, you know, anything like that. You go back to your house, you have the stuff all in the sink and it's all, you know. Yeah, the floors haven't been washed for 3 weeks. So it's a living disaster. But then you turn up, they give the class, and everyone's like, oh, how do you So when you become a little advanced, then it's actually not easy. It's actually not easy to do. To enter deeply into our consciousness that actually our good qualities are the reflection of our association. From the spiritual masters and advanced devotees, and ultimately Krishna.
On the same point, Srila Prabhupada always said to Lake Thompson Square, when you were chanting, he said, it's all because of my mercy of my spiritual master that you are here, dancing and singing. That was always, he said, everything, he never took any credit to himself. Always.
Sometimes, generally you do that. Sometimes you take credit for himself also. Devotee said to Prabhupada one time, and said, Prabhupada, you were very brave. And he said, I am still brave. He said, you were, when you were very, he said, I am still brave. And so he had that bow. He was a hero.
He was talking about the Victoria Memorial in Calcutta.
He climbed up to the top. But ultimately, he knew that everything came from his spiritual masters. Anything else?
In the report, it is mentioned that the third work is the initiation into the performance of being sacrifice. What is that?
I mean, a little bit hard to know exactly. You'd have to ask Banaswami, he'd be the ones. I'd take it something roughly like first initiation, second initiation.
So the second one, Prabhupada mentioned
Brahmana, yeah. And then he says, yeah, something. Yeah. I actually don't know. Banaswami is the best. He knows all the details. Anything else? Okay.
Actually, you should think that you are just a bubble which can burst in time. And then you will be humble, and then you will think that this all Krishna is doing.
It's easy to say all these things.
You can follow that path.
Sure.
Slowly and slowly.
Sure.
So three stages. One is the birth as a Brahmana. Again, traditionally, whatever I have observed, especially in Shankara Sampradaya, so they have Brahmins by birth, and then the children get their Brahminical initiation on time at a very young age, and then their Adhyaya beings, Ved Parayan, that beings, and then when that fructifies, matures, such that they can be independent in terms of leading a guest,
that is when they become priests. Yeah. So we ask Banaswami or Jagannath Ram?
No, this is just my observation.
Well, I'm telling you, you are correct. That's the correct answer.
I'm telling you, no, it is.
No, but that's the answer. Okay. He'll tell you afterwards. Go and find him after class and then he'll explain to you. Okay. Which verse is it?
41.
The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even the great mystics. What to speak of us? As Brahmanas, we are supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men. Yet, we have being bewildered about our own real interest. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken for them the very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. These women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes.
According to the Sridhar Swami, the husbands were not aware that their wives had occasionally associated with the residents of Vrindavan, such as the flower ladies, and had heard about the beauty and qualities of Krishna. The Brahmanas were astonished at their wives' loving devotion for Lord Krishna, not realizing that this devotion had developed as a result of hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of his pure devotees.
What are the points there?
Association of pure devotees is most important.
Not only association,
hearing about Krishna in the association.
Very good. Yeah. So this is the entire process of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Prabhupada says in the Sambhuka of the Vaishnava Charis that the entire process can be summarized in 2 points. Associate with pure devotees and pray for the mercy of the previous acharyas. So that is the entire process of Krishna consciousness. It's only these 2 things. So when you associate with pure devotees, what will they do? What is the activity which you perform in their association? Hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's what it means to associate with the pure devotees. So that's the entire process. It's nothing else. So wherever there are pure devotees, just like every year, you know, I go to the holy dance and I pray that each year I can go and I attend the retreats. So Sachi Nandan Swami, Burujan Prabhu, Mother Jagatarini, Madhavananda Prabhu means advanced devotees. Because I know for myself I need advanced association. My Guru Maharaj left the world. I don't have his direct association anymore. So then I have to find advanced association. And then you go and you associate with those devotees and they engage in hearing and chanting to the point where they completely exhaust you. Like Sachinandan Swami, you get up in the morning. You know, the 64 round day. You know, you go on the... All day we chant 64 rounds. Get up early in the morning. 64 rounds, then we all come back. I'm exhausted. You know, 64 rounds, and then all. And then Maharaj starts a kirtan. He goes kirtan for 1 or 2 hours after 64 rounds. And I'm just like, oh my, you know, I was ready to pass out. But by the association of advanced devotees, they carry you to levels that you cannot attain by yourself. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Because I know myself, I can't go very far actually. But by the association of advanced devotees, they can take you. By their strength, they can take you to much higher levels. And Prabhupada, he took everyone to the highest level because his momentum was so powerful. You know, the famous story I've told many times. Yes, Guru Kripa Prabhu. Yeah. He woke up, rang the bell. And Satsarupa Maharaj came in. He said, "Where is Guru Kripa?" So they went and got him. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. The Guru Kripa Prabhu comes in, you know, Prabhupada said, "What were you doing?" "And I was sleeping, Prabhupada." "Why were you sleeping?" "And Prabhupada, so I can serve." "Why are you not here translating with me?" "And Prabhupada, you only sleep 2 hours, you are Paramahamsa. Why you are not a Paramahamsa?" He couldn't say anything. The Prabhupada said, "Go and take rest." So it was by Prabhupada's momentum that he carried everyone because he was so powerful. And so it is by the association that we get that's what takes us in Krishna consciousness. So these Jagyic Brahmanas, by the association of their wives, they advance in Krishna consciousness. You can't advance without association, advanced association. Specifically when Rupa Goswami gives the 5 most powerful items of bhakti. So there's Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vash, Shrimurti, Sevaya, Sevan. But Sadhu Sangha specifically, I think Jiva Goswami comments, he said that specifically means advanced association. He specifically says Rasika Vaishnavas. What's a Rasika Vaishnava? Rasika. This word used in the beginning of the first 3 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says the Bhagavatam is for Rasika. What does it mean if someone's a Rasika Vaishnava? It means he's got a taste, rasa. Rasika, he can extract a taste from the Bhagavatam. So you need to associate with devotees who have a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then you will get a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna.
When I read Lilamrita, right, most of the time Prabhupada was not associated with Master. There were other Sufi masters. I mean,
other disciples who were associated with Bhaktisiddhanta for a long time. But how is that, what was Prabhupada's situation, what mood he carried to him to become so close to the other? He was, as an example, right, one time, right, I think I don't know which disciple he said, you know, we quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's part, you know, there will be one person who will take my name all over the world. I don't know, I forgot that verse. And Prabhupada said, do you think so? He said, no. And Prabhupada said, he kept quiet. Something he said to him, he told him. But how, what is that association? You know, every time I hear this association means what, Prabhupada? How we can advance like that so far? And also I have another question attached to this.
Yeah, it means by your qualification. It means that order was given to many people by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada received that order to go to the West and preach in English, but Bhaktisiddhanta didn't just give to Prabhupada, he gave that to many of his followers. But Prabhupada had the receptivity or the sincerity that he took that as his life and soul. Most of the instructions we get, you don't take it as your life and soul. So therefore you're not qualified. So you might get the association, but then how much you can take advantage of the association. We all get association with advanced devotees, but who takes advantage of the association? Who advances themselves?
This might be the second funny question. Can they become so powerful and powerful by translating these Bhagavatam verses? For me, too difficult even to pronounce the first letter itself. How can one translate? How can one
be
so?
Well, Prabhupada didn't just sit as a voice. Prabhupada came down from the spiritual world with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was empowered by Krishna. Krishna Shakti, you know. Okay. Indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Controller, whose every desire is already fulfilled and who is the master of liberation and all other transcendental benedictions, enact this pretense with us, who are always to be controlled by him? Jagannath.
Although Lord Krishna is referred to in doing so, he exposed the Brahmanas' delusion and arrogance and established the ignorance of the young person by attracting their very wives to surrender
them. So, what are the points there? Yeah. The point which is made in this is an important point in this pastime, is that Krishna will deal with each one of us as is necessary. And Krishna's representatives deal with us as is necessary also.
what you need is what you get. Everyone wants all the sweet stuff all the time. You know, everyone, you know, the advanced devotees to be very kind and very soft, and you want all that all the time, but maybe that's not what you need. Krishna couldn't do that to the Jagi Brahmanas because they were not qualified. They were puffed up with pride. So Krishna had to diminish the pride. So he treated them in a very particular way. And the wives of the Brahmanas, he treated them in a completely different way. So it's according to our atika, or our qualification, the type of reciprocation we get from the advanced devotees, from the guru, and from Krishna himself. So if you act properly, you will get the right reciprocation, or the reciprocation that you want. But if you don't act properly, if your consciousness is not correct, then you need to be chastised. Chastisement is not it's not a sign of not receiving mercy. But it is, you're receiving as much mercy as the person who's getting the softness. Right? Just like it's said about Prabhupada. Prabhupada could be as soft as a rose or as hard as a thunderbolt. Right? Tamal Krishnamaraj writes that in the Prabhupada Anchalila. And he wrote that little drama about Prabhupada. So he said, Prabhupada's soft as a rose, but he could be as hard as a thunderbolt. Compared, according to what you needed. Just like 1977, right? Early 1977, Tamal Krishnamaraj took Prabhupada up to Rishikesh, up to the Ganges up there, to rest, because Prabhupada was ill. So they took him up there. And then they were on the roof of one of the buildings, and Tamal Krishnamaraj was serving Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Did you remember to do such and such?" Tamal Krishnamaraj said, "Oh, I forgot." And Prabhupada said, "Of course you forgot." He said, "Because there's nothing in there." Nothing. It is useless. It is empty. Like that, Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishnamaraj just thought, "Oh my God, you know, I've just served Prabhupada for 8 years." And Prabhupada just turns around. You know, this is the very end, close to the end. Prabhupada said, "Nothing in there." So just brought him down. But this is the mercy of the guru, because that, if that's what the disciple needs, that will elevate the disciple. So according to what you need is the way Krishna will reciprocate. So it's very important in this pastime to understand this. Krishna reciprocates in one way with the Jagi Brahmins, but he reciprocates in another way with the Brahmanas themselves, right? According to their atika, or qualification. I remember Tamal Krishnamaraj said the last time he came to Australia, 2001, he was giving darshan in Sydney. He said, because he had a reputation for being very heavy. You know, he was very heavy and very powerful. But he said at the end of his pastime, it was only 1 year before he left this world, he said, "I don't want to be like that anymore. He said, I just want soft pastime." Actually, the guru just wants to be soft. But he can't be, because some people don't, that's not what they require. And Krishna is the same. Krishna just wants to be soft all the time. But sometimes he has to be heavy, because that's what the devotee needs. So then Krishna is like that. So according to what you need, that's what you will get.
One question, Prabhu.
Yeah.
In the translation of this verse 46, enact this pretend with us. Transcendent benediction, enact with this pretend. What does it mean?
It means that he's God. But he sent the cowherd boys to beg something. So it's pretense. He didn't need, Krishna didn't need. Yeah, he didn't need to ask them for food.
He can produce anything.
Yeah, he's Krishna. But in order to give them some opportunity, then he said, "Please give something." It's like Krishna doesn't need our offering. Prabhupada says that. Krishna doesn't need our offering. Yeah, you cook everything and you offer it to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need it. But he accepts it. That's his reciprocation. That's his mercy. Hoping for the touch of his lotus feet, the goddess of fortune perpetually worships him alone, leaving aside all others and renouncing her pride and fickleness. That he begs is certainly astonishing to everyone. So now they're in a humble mood.
No? Does this happen to you sometime? When Krishna crushes your pride, or the devotees, or the guru, or your wife, or someone crushes your pride, and then you come all and you start speaking properly, and then you come, you're all very nice, very humble, like that. You know, until our pride becomes degraded, then we come into the right consciousness, then we start speaking the right way and acting the right way. So now they're acting nicely, they're speaking very humbly, and they're offering prayers. But before they were so proud, they wouldn't speak like this. But when Krishna brought them down, now they're speaking appropriately. All the aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious place and time, the various items of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests, and the sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patron of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering, and the pious results obtained, all are simply manifestations of his opulences. Yet even though we had heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, we were so foolish that we could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. So why couldn't they understand it? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. If you want to understand me, you have to be my devotee and my friend. So because the cowherd women, because the wives of the brahmanas, because they were qualified, they understood Krishna. But the brahmanas, they could not understand Krishna, because they did not have the right mood.
Arrogance.
Yeah, they were arrogant. Let us offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intelligence is never bewildered. Whereas we, confused by his power of illusion, are simply wandering about on the paths of fruitive work. We are bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus could not understand his influence as the original personality of Godhead. Now we hope he will kindly forgive our offense. Thus reflecting on the sin they had committed by neglecting Lord Krishna, they became very eager to see him, but being afraid of King Kamsa, they did not dare to go to Braj. So, it doesn't matter who you are in devotional service. If you committed a mistake, you must beg forgiveness. Even Prabhupada, in 1977, just before Prabhupada left this world, when Prabhupada's godbrothers came, Prabhupada, he said, please forgive me for my offenses. He said, sometimes I spoke very strongly in the line of preaching. He said, if I've committed any offenses, please forgive me. Prabhupada, he said that many times to his godbrothers in the final year when they came to see him. And they'd say, there's no offense, there's no offense. But it doesn't matter who you are, you should beg forgiveness if you commit a mistake. So you see, it's interesting now, the wives of the brahmanas, when they heard Krishna was close by, what did they do? They went straight to Krishna, right? But now, the brahmanas, right? Now they've become devotees, and they understand Krishna is close by, but they won't go to him. Why is that?
Because of conceit.
Because this is a test of faith. Devotional life begins with Shraddha, right? And if you go from through the nine levels of bhakti, from Shraddha to Prema, it's all just a question of faith increasing. Shraddha is the beginning, and the more Shraddha you have, that is called Nishta. And when you have more Shraddha, it's called Ruchi. When you have more Shraddha, it's called Asakti. Then Bhava, and then Prema means complete Shraddha. So they had Prema, they just went to Krishna. Okay. Kamsa might do something, but Krishna will look after us. That's for all of us. You know? What are we attached to? Do we just surrender to Krishna? We all say, you have to. We all give class, right? And we all say, you have to surrender to Krishna. But do you do that? Are you more attached to Krishna or to your bank account? Oh, I have my bank account, so I'm safe.
That's what the Brahmanas were like. They wouldn't go to Krishna because they wouldn't give up everything. It's interesting. And we're like that too. We have to look at ourselves. We don't fully surrender to Krishna because we're still got a little, oh yeah, but if I give up all, I mean, imagine, seriously, think about it. You give all of your money away and you just go to Vrindavan. Think about that. With nothing. Just think about it. Meditate on that point. Right? Are you ready to do that? That's advanced. Just go to Vrindavan, just get to Vrindavan and then see what happens. Krishna will take care of you. Krishna will take care of you, but do you have that faith? So that's the difference in this pastime between the Brahmanas. Even when they become devotees, they can't fully surrender to Krishna. Sri Krishna Tanda Bhagavan, a key. Yeah. Yeah.